This is January 7th, 2025, and that's the first time I said that. Cool. I've been saying other things like I'm glad last year's over, but that's the first time I actually broadcast the day, the year. But I'm doing Fruit of the Light, study number 39 tonight, and as always, my fruit of the light is in Ephesians 5:8, where it says, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And in 9 it says, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and in proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. But before I get into that, I should have done this before. I want to read Psalms 150, 1 through 6. I posted this on my Facebook page to those that are within my group, just as a New Year's word from God. You know, it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. And you know, the firmament is what has been spoken of several times by Ron, and it's the same word as in Genesis 1:6, where it says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So this is the same firmament that let us praise God for. Praise him for his mighty acts, and to praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, praising God, even Christ our head, on a daily basis. This psalm breaks through all dispensations and all times. So you can use this as part of your daily praising the Lord, you know? And I'm sure you guys do. I know I'm preaching to the choir here because we all praise the Lord and are thankful every day for what graces he has bestowed on us. But on my Ephesians study, I'm tender-hearted and compassionate. Well, tender-hearted is in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to read Ephesians 4:21-32, and tender-hearted is in 32. But just to get context, says in 21, if so be that you heard him, that's Christ, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on a new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. with every fiber of your being, get rid of it. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. So tender-hearted is the Greek form, 2155, eusplangenos. It's well compensated, i.e. sympathetic, pitiful, or tender-hearted. It's used two times here in the New Testament. The other time is in 1 Peter 3:8, but it's not the word tender-hearted. In 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." And this is talking to Israel. "Be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren." Pitiful, and that's the Greek word eusplangenos, and be courteous. Now, tender-hearted is used one time in the Old Testament, but I'm just not going to go into that. But I'm going to go into the compassion aspect in with the tender-hearted, because one is tender-hearted, they're sympathetic and compassionate to others. You know, when you look at the word pitiful in 1 Peter, you look at the actual word pitiful, there's three different definitions for it. One is full of pity, tender-hearted, compassionate, kind, merciful, or sympathetic. An example is the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And the other one is piteous, lamentable, eliciting compassion. An example is a thing indeed very pitiful and horrible. The third one is to be pitied for littleness or meanness, miserable, paltry, contemptible, despicable. That's an example is that's valueless and shows most pitiful ambition in the fool that uses it. Compassion is used 19 times in the Old Testament scriptures. The first time I'm going to use it in Ezekiel is Ezekiel 16. Now, 16 is Ezekiel talking about Jerusalem being a deserted infant and carried away years before the destruction of the city and the temple. He dwelt at his own house, this is Ezekiel, and he was married, and his wife died in the year when the siege of Jerusalem began. In Ezekiel 16, 1 through 3, "Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations." This goes on throughout the Old Testament, in all of the prophets, they start out this way and say, "Thus says the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity of the land of Canaan, thy father an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite." And the CB note on verse 3 where it says the father, it says thy father, this refers to the first builders of Jebus, not to Abraham and his seed. Jebus was a Canaanite city. Thus Satan occupied in advance both land and capital as soon as the promise to Abraham was known. So this is going to have a study totally in itself that I'm not even going to touch on right now. But that has really sparked my interest, and I'm going to look into that. Because, you know, I've always been under the impression that Israel started with Israel. And now we have a different explanation through Ezekiel. And I haven't looked into the book of Ezekiel that hard yet. But in Ezekiel 16:4, "And as for thy nativity, in the day was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed and water to circle thee. So they weren't cleansed. So when they were born, they were dirty. And they weren't cleansed until, I'm going to say, Abraham came along. Or I'm just going to stop there. He says, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee in 5 to do any of these unto thee to have compassion upon thee. So nobody had compassion on them at the time. But thou wast cast out in open field to the loathing of thy person in the day thou wast born. Now in Ezekiel 2:5-6, and the daughter of Pharaoh, this is getting into Moses being born, 3 months old, and was put into the reeds, into the river. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. This is the Hebrew 25:50, which is kol mal. It's by implication to spare, have compassion, pity, or to spare. And this is used by the daughter of Pharaoh. She had compassion on Moses, which is a long story in itself. When to get to this point, the Hebrew nation was growing faster than the Pharaoh could handle, and he wanted to get rid of all the men, all the firstborn men. So this is where Moses came into play. In the Psalms, we get into 78:38. But he, God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. So God was constantly turning away his wrath, and he was having compassion on them. Israel was always being Israel. They would make a promise, and then they would back out on it. So for their, because in 37 it says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. So Israel just constantly was breaking the covenants, and you had to wonder when God was going to be done with them. And his problematic construction, parabolic construction. In Psalms 86:15, it says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous and merciful and true. You notice that in the Old Testament, God is being compassionate to Israel. And in turn, in the New Testament, we're to be compassionate with all, with everybody. In Psalms 111:4, he hath made, let's read 1-4 in this Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with all my heart, my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And in 5 it says, he hath given meat unto them that fear him and will ever be mindful of his covenant. There again, the covenant comes up again. In 1:12, 1-4, it says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. And a good man showeth favor and lendeth, he will guide his affairs with discretion. In Psalms 145, start at 5, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. In Deuteronomy 13, and that was all four of those was the Hebrew form, 73:49, Rahum. And then in Deuteronomy 13:15-18, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all the inhabitants, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof, and the edge of the sword, with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again, and there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thine hand. The Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show thee mercy and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, and he has sworn unto thy fathers, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord. That's the Hebrew form, 73:55, Rahum, a primitive root, by implication to love, especially to compassionate, to have compassion on, to love, find, and have obtained mercy. In Isaiah 49:13-14, Isaiah says, sing, O heavens, and be ye joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forsaken me. And in 15, says, can a woman forget her sucking child? that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. The Lord is talking about he can't forget Israel, just like a mother can't forget her child and have compassion on them. In Jeremiah 12:15-17, and it shall come to pass after I have plucked them out, with I will return and have compassion on them. I will bring them again, every man to his heritage. And this he's talking about Israel again. And every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, and as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. In Lamentations 3, verse 32, but though he causes grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And this is 22-36. This is the remembrance of Jehovah's mercies. In 2 Chronicles 3:9, for if ye turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion. And that's 73:56, Rakam, before them and lead them captive, so they shall come again unto this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. And I got my letter. My page is messed up. I missed my page. Let me pull up my printer didn't print all my pages. Now,
what?
Okay. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3:8. And I'm going to read 8-18. I set that out to print, and I don't know what happened to it. But I want to read from 8-18 on that. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And that's, our Lord's ears are open unto our prayers. You know, our prayers go up like a scent to the Lord, a sacrificial sin. In 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if any of you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak ill of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ has also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and put to death in the flesh by the quickening of the Spirit. And we know that has already taken place in Colossians. And 1 Peter being a prior dispensation, he's talking to Israel here. But you can look at the practical aspect of what's being said here, and we can equate it with just our daily walk, that we can take something from this. But I just wanted to share this with you guys. I appreciate your time, and I hope you got some edification out of it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, Lord, and we ask that you be with all those that are in need of healing or need comforting. I know we have many families here that are going through some troubled times with either family members or themselves. And, Lord, we ask that you be with them and be with all the saints here and all the prayers that's on their hearts. We ask, Lord, that you search their hearts and ask that your will be done in all our lives. For it's in Christ's precious, holy name I pray. Amen.